Same thing. That was Ryan and Carlos that did an awesome job. And did you guys write that? No, you didn't write that. Okay. I thought that was pretty good. That was pretty good. How are you guys doing today? Doing well? How could you not? Such a beautiful day. We're going to be in Romans, the 16th chapter. You know, if you were here last week, you heard me talk about It Takes a Family. We looked at Romans 16, and really I highlighted several people that the Apostle Paul commends. And it was women. We focused on the women. And we talked about how really it takes this family to accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish in our community, in our families. So really with that same theme, I'm going to talk a little bit more on Romans 16. And, you know, we live in crazy, crazy times. Just today I was, you know, surfing the web. Well, not even the web, but just looking on Facebook and the things that people post and just looking at some of the videos. And it's really, really clear that we live in a unique time in our nation. I've never seen so much division, so much offense. And it's interesting because this group thinks they have the moral high ground, and this group thinks that they have the moral high ground. And I'm here to tell you, none of them have the moral high ground. Let's be honest, none of them do. And yet, as long as they pretend that, there will be division that will exist. But here's what I understand, that division, wherever you find it, is contrary really to what the Lord wants for us. Whether you find it in our nation, you know, this party arguing about this party about that party, guess what? That division is always from the pit. That's where it comes from. Division is from the pit. In fact, Scripture is real clear. It's really a work of the flesh. Real clear. And so you see this offense going on in our nation, but the difficult part is eventually it trickles down to our communities, eventually it trickles down to our families, and eventually it trickles even down in the church. And that's why we're real careful to not let it come into the church. I'll just stop there, you know, before I'll preach a different sermon than I want to preach. But we have to teach people that it's not really welcome in this place. Look at what Psalms 133 says about unity. Psalms 133:1 says this: "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren." Now, how many of you have kids at home, okay? I mean, you can insert "for kids to dwell together in" what? Unity, right? I mean, for those of you that are moms and you have multiple kids, it's a long day when the kids wake up arguing, amen? It's a long day when they wake up arguing. It's like, what happened in the middle of the night? What happened in the middle of the night? But really, this is talking about the house of God. Not only the house of God, but I believe also even in our nation, it's a good thing. It's a pleasant thing when brethren, especially believers, dwell together in unity. It's a very good thing. That's why the enemy is always trying to bring disunity against the church. And he uses church people. What? See, sometimes we think he's going to bring in somebody out of the outs. No, he uses church people. Tell your neighbor, he uses people like you. Tell your neighbor, it's okay, he uses people like you. Now they're offended. I'm offended. See, that's the way division starts. But you know, we really, really feel that the Lord has called East River to be a healing center, and that's an awesome thing, amen? That God's going to bring us people to this place, that people that have been displaced, that are looking for community, that, you know, I don't have a family, I need a family. Well, guess what? There's room for you here. He's going to be people that are depressed. Just life has not gone the way they thought, and so they're looking for hope. Well, guess what? There's a place for you here. He's bringing people that are afflicted, just people that have been beat up by the world, beat up in marriages, beat up in families, whatever it might be, beat up at work, and you need a place in which you can come and be healed again, and this is the place, and there is room for you. And then the depleted, the ones that are just, man, they got nothing left. And usually the depleted are people that maybe got that way because of lousy decisions they've made. You know, sometimes we want to blame the devil, sometimes we want to blame the preacher, sometimes we want to blame somebody, but the reality is, a lot of our problems are our own fault, the decisions that we made. And so for the depleted, they want to come in here and just rest long enough to get their life back in order. And to those, we would say, yes, this is the place. There is room for you here to take a breather and get put back together. But when the bruised and the fractured come in here, and the reason the bruised and the fractured and the broken will come in here that way is because that's the world that they live in. And they need to know that when they come in here, there is a united place. That doesn't matter that if they watch, you know, Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or online, aware of where people are fighting and calling each other names and everything else, and this person's against that person and all. When they come here, it's different. Do you get that? When they come here, they must find something different. When they come here, they say, man, there's something different about this place. It's so good. It's so pleasant. What is it? Guess what? That we get along with one another. And it's a supernatural thing, and it's a thing that we have to really monitor. And so I've titled today's message, The United Family. So I'm applying it not only to our nation, I'm applying it really to our community, I'm applying it to the church, but also since it's Mother's Day weekend, I'm applying it to the family, because I think there's principles in here that will apply to you. So here we go. I'm going to give you four principles that I see in Romans 16. The first one is this. Unity is guarded by looking out for those who cause division and offense. Like, what? Unity is guarded by looking out for those who cause division or offense. Look what the Apostle Paul told the church. Once again, he's been just commending people for all, and then it's almost like, before I go, I got to remind you of something again. And I'm glad that he reminded us of this, because this is a huge problem in the church. Right? If we are not looking out for those that cause division or offense. Look at verse 17. The Apostle Paul says this, now I urge you. Okay, you can just sense, right? I mean, he's like, man, I'm telling you, wake up. I'm telling you, be on the lookout. I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses. He says, note those. In other words, be on the lookout for people that, you know, and here's what you got to understand. A lot of times, they're good people. And you know, you've seen it at your place of work. A lot of times, good people cause problems. And you're like, man, I don't know what happens. And we're going to talk about what happens. But the Apostle Paul says here, he's speaking to the church. This is the way I want you to protect unity. He says, I urge you, brethren, note those, be on the lookout. The word means spy out, right? Spy out those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine, talking about the teaching that he had given them, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. And he says, and avoid them. Whoa. And avoid them. So he says, those that cause division, those who bring really disunion, and we see that in our nation. And you have to, if you're going to watch the news, you got to watch it critically. I don't care who it is. I don't care what party it is. I don't care if he's a PhD, you know, or a DVD. It doesn't matter to me how many letters he has. You have to, if you're going to watch news or TV, you got to watch it critically. You got to say, you know what? That's garbage that you're spouting out. You're just causing division. And a lot of these people, they don't even believe what they say. The reason they spout what they spout is because there's money involved. Right? Unless you stir up controversy, you're not going to make money in this country. You're not. That's just the way it is. Everywhere you see it, you got to watch it critically to say, you know what? That's a lie. You're a division causer. I don't care what background they come from. And because we have to be a people that say enough's enough. We're done sleeping. We're done allowing this happen to our nation. We're done allowing this happening to our community. We're for sure done allowing it happen in our families. Because this, I tell you what, they're teaching a whole generation to live like this. You know, a perpetual dissatisfaction, a perpetual, you know, questioning and really bringing division, right? Bringing disunion is really what the word means. So the Apostle Paul, he says, be on the lookout for people like that do that. Because it's not a good thing ultimately. It's not a good thing. See, because unity, it will strengthen a nation. Unity will strengthen a family. Unity will strengthen the church. That's why the enemy hates unity. Hates it. He loves to bring disunity. That's what he does. So the Apostle Paul saying, you got to be on the lookout. Some people are going to come and bring division. They're going to bring splintering, dissension. And how are they going to do it? And it's also subtle. It's also subtle, right? It's like this. They'll bring a critical spirit towards something. It's actually, I'm going to get to the good stuff in a little bit, just in case you're wondering, like, oh my gosh, Pastor, this is Mother's Day. But you can take it good. I'm glad. You can take it. But you got a black belt, though, so you know you're used to this kind of stuff. You know, people will come with a critical spirit. You know, they're critical about stuff. Even good stuff. They look at something and they're tearing it apart. We have to check ourselves, because everything that I mentioned today, we all do. So don't be like, I wonder who. Oh, look in the mirror, man. I wake up with a critical spirit sometimes, right? And that's when I said, what'd you do to me last night? Well, you beat me in my sleep. I mean, I just woke up in a bad mood. Critical spirit, or maybe grumbling, gossiping, arguing, judging. You know, 1 Corinthians 3 calls it carnal behavior. Whenever someone is like that, bringing division, and a lot of times we spiritualize it, right? We're, we understand this truth better than most people, and so we might spiritualize it, but 1 Corinthians 3:3 really talks it, considers it carnal behavior. Galatians 5:20 lists division, and those that cause division really as deeds of the flesh, even though we try to make it sound spiritual. And those that are on TV, I mean, they make their best case, but we know better. We know better. And in the family, it's the same way. We got to understand where division comes from, and we got to go after it. He says, so be on the lookout of those that bring division. They're trying to separate people. Those that bring offenses, they bring a stumbling block. They bring a hindrance. I still love one of the most intimate and yet awesome prayers in John 17, when Jesus is talking to the Father and he's talking about the unity that they have together. And then he begins to talk about you and I, and he begins really to pray for you and I. And he says this prayer, man, I not only wish that they will one day be united the way you and I are. And you get that way by intimacy with God. You spend time with God. Once you get to know God, I tell you what, you get close to God. But then he says, you know, he's praying that there would be a unity among God's people. And he says, in fact, if there's a unity among God's people, the world is going to believe that you sent me. You know, they're going to believe, yeah, this whole Jesus thing, it must be for real, because look at the Jesus people, they get along. Well, I got to tell you, Jesus people aren't getting along these days. They just aren't. They haven't been for a while. Because this person will criticize that ministry, will criticize that ministry, will criticize this church, will criticize that church. And I tell you what, I used to do it more than I do now until somebody set me straight one time. I preached and I was critical of a few ministries, and then when I got off the platform, someone called me on it. And you know what? They should have called me on it, because that's wrong. We're part of God's family, amen? We're to be a united family. So I'm going to tell you right away, you will not agree with any ministry, any church 100%. I don't even agree with myself 100%. No. So I think I'll start beating myself up, you know. No, you won't. So knock it off, right? Don't just, you know, I'm going to just tell you, bless. It's easier to bless, right? Bless that ministry. Bless that pastor. Bless whatever. You know, but instead we're being raised as a nation of that bring division and criticalness and all that. And I tell you what, we're going to bring it into our families, and you will regret, because whatever you're teaching, it's like this. I used this example recently. How many of you know who Russ Perot was? Or, you know, Russ Perot. Have you ever heard of Russ Perot? Right? You got to be over 50 to know who Russ Perot is. And I believe I'm quoting this guy accurate. I believe it's him that said this. Real quickly, Russ Perot was a billionaire. He ran for president, I believe, back, I don't know, 70s, 80s, I don't know. it all just mixes together. But he at one time worked for IBM and worked up his way, and then was making too much money, you know, and so, you know, he went out and started his own company and became a billionaire. But I think it was him that told the story that when he was working for IBM, he got a call. Somebody was looking for his boss. And so he gets the phone, and his boss is like, you know, tell him I'm not here. You know, tell him I'm not here. And so Ross Perot's like, yeah, he's right here. Let me give it to you. And so he gives it to his boss. Well, his boss, after he finished talking to this customer, was furious with Ross Perot. And like, you know, like chewing him out, how dare you do? And he said, hey, if you want me to lie to this guy, if you want me to deceive for you, you got to understand it's a matter of time before then I lie and deceive you. And his boss said, you're right. See, and that's what I'm saying. As a nation, do we really want to be a nation that tears each other apart? Do we want to be a nation that, as a way of doing business, we bring disunity and judgment and all those kind of things? Because eventually, it'll come to our doorstep. And I tell you what, and you wonder when your kids will no longer talk to you. When your kids say, you know what, I don't like you. You know, you screwed up when you raised me. I'm not going to talk to you no more. And we wonder, how did that happen? It's because we never dealt with it at this level. Can I get an amen? See, and that's why we need to be vigilant to not allow that, because it'll pass on to our kids and we will regret it for sure. And I've seen it in my home too, with my own personal siblings, not with my kids. Praise Jesus. I don't allow them to be mad at each other. Will not allow it. Dad gets on the phone, you will call your sister, you will call your brother, you will settle it. Right? Not going to allow that. But in my home, we've had brothers who weren't talking to each other for years. Crazy stuff, you know. But he's saying, no, be on the lookout for people that do that. It's contrary to the way I taught you as a church. He says, avoid them. And the reason he's saying really avoid them, really keep away from, because it's a matter of time where they might influence you. And he says, that's why. You got to be careful because, and he's going to talk about they can be persuasive. And you can be persuaded long enough to do something. How many of you would say there's things that you did that you didn't want to do, and the reason you did it is somehow you were influenced or was peer pressure or something? Raise your hand. Okay, now look around. That's why the Apostle Paul's saying you stay away from people like this, people that want to bring divisions up, because it's a matter of time before you'll copy them. It's just the way it happens. So we guard it in our church. Here's the second thing. Unity is guarded by being aware of the motivations of those who cause division. So now the Apostle Paul is going to go and talk about what's behind this motivation. Look at verse 18. I'm getting to the good stuff, okay? You're like, oh, Pastor, you're beating me up. No, I'm getting to the good stuff. Verse 18, for those who are such, talking about those that bring division, he's talking specifically to the church, but that's why he's talking about this way. For those who are such, do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're saved, and so we now serve him. It's him that we serve, not ourselves. But he says, but instead, they serve their own belly. Like, what? Well, he's talking about their own interests. The original word talks about really the internal cavity, but he's saying their own interests. It's all about them. It's about their appetite. It's whatever they want. That's who they're serving. And how do they do it? It says, and by smooth words, and by flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple, talking about the innocent or those in young in faith. So he says, you know, where they start going a little bit wrong is self-interest. It makes it all about themselves, right? You know, I think it was yesterday, Pam said something. And so I told her, I said, you know, quit making this all about yourself. I said, there's not enough room for both of us making it about ourselves, you know. There's only room for one person to have self-interest in this all. And it should be me instead of my wife. Yeah. I don't know what Spory said, but I know it was him. See, he says really where they go a little bit off is self-interest. Because we serve the interests of Jesus. That's who we serve. It's all about him. This is his church. So when somebody attacks this church, they're attacking his church. When they attack that church, they're attacking his church. When they're attacking that ministry, they're attacking him too. See, that's what he's saying. Don't make it about you. It's about His will, His plans, and His purposes. Remember our word for this year, 2019. The word is what? Purpose. We wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, we want to fulfill Your purpose, not our purpose. We've fulfilled our purpose long enough. Now we live for Him. So He says they use smooth words, right? A lot of times, that means persuasive words. They're going to hit you and persuade you. Flattering speech. It's the same word that we use for a eulogy. In other words, eloquence. There's an eloquence, right? But He says ultimately they want to deceive you. It's the same word that really would be used of the serpent deceiving Eve. And then the simple or the innocent, the young in faith. He says that's really their motivation. Here's another motivation that I've seen. I've done this long enough. A lot of times it's brokenness. A lot of times, you know, people are broken out there. There's stuff, the way they were raised, there was stuff in their home, all that, right? And then they get saved. They come to the church, and the brokenness is still there. And so they function the same way until we teach them otherwise. That's why we're huge on getting. I love the skit. Getting into the Word, getting the Word of God. Find out what He has to say about brokenness, what He has to say about emotions, and let Him heal us up. Here's number three. I'm getting close to the good stuff. Unity is maintained by focusing on what is good. And what is good is what? A united family. See, that's unity is maintained that way. Look in verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, for your obedience has become known to all. He says, man, I'm hearing all kinds of good stuff about you. And that's what I'd love to be heard about East River. You know what? East River doesn't badmouth anybody. In fact, they pray for people. They're willing to help anybody. I mean, that's what I wanted to be heard of us, that we are for people. We're for churches. We're for the work of God. It's like when we first met with Pastor Paul and Janice, who pastor in Rainier, Oregon. We consider them a sister church of us. But when I first met with them, what I was interested is what Jesus had told them. Because this is what I said, and this is my feeling for East River. If Jesus is in it, count me in. Right? If Jesus is in it, count me in. And that's really the culture that I want to establish in East River. That we're going to bless. It's easy to curse. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to judge. It's easy to tear down. But we will choose. We're going to bless. Amen? That's what we're going to do. And you have my permission to call me on my stuff too, right? You have permission to say, you know, Pastor, I heard you be critical of that. Okay, call me on it, right? Can I get an amen, right? Because I want to call you on your stuff too. So just so you know it. Wow. Set them up. So He says, for your obedience has become known to all. He says, man, we're hearing great stuff about you. He says, I'm glad on your behalf. He says, man, you're getting me all excited. He says, and this is a good principle here, but I want you to be wise in what is good. And notice he says, focus on that which is good, that which is right, that is honorable, that is true. He says, if you're going to watch anything on TV, online, or whatever, how about watching something that is good, something that is good for the soul? See, sometimes we... And this is what he's going to say. Sometimes we, and I'm the worst. I like to be in the know, right? I like to be in the know. No, I don't need to be in the know. Maybe when I worked in the kind of job that I did, you know, there's stuff that I needed to know that was cruddy and junky, right? It was just bad stuff that I needed to know as part of my job, but I don't need to now. And so the apostle Paul would tell me, Carlos, be wise in what is good. Focus on the good stuff. If something's not encouraging the soul, don't watch it. Don't watch it. And then he says, and here's the contrast, simple concerning evil. He says, you don't need to know what people are up to, really. You don't need to know about evil. You don't need to know what Hollywood is up to. Sometimes there's something that says, well, I just need to inform myself. Maybe we wouldn't present it that way. But he says, no, if it's not building you up, your kids, your family, have nothing to do with it. Be innocent. You know, I recently talked to somebody. It encouraged me. recently talked to somebody, and I was just talking to them about something, and they were just oblivious of something that's going on in our nation. They're just, you know. And I'm like, how can you not know? I mean, I've read it in five different websites, you know. How can you not know? And the person says, you know, I kind of just focus my time on knowing Jesus. I mean, that's, I'm like, yeah, I should try that, you know. And that's what the Apostle Paul said, right? Be innocent, conserve evil, forget evil. Instead, focus on Jesus, amen? Here's number four. Moms, here you go. Man, I got to hurry up through this one. We're probably going to go a little bit late, just to let you know. Unity is maintained by the influence of what? Moms. Moms, I love moms. I will say my mom kept me out of jail, right? She did. She did. Moms, I got to tell you this. You have greater influence than you even know. You got to understand that God has given you great influence. Not that dads don't. Dads do. That's another sermon. I'll do that on Father's Day. But I'm talking to moms right now. Okay, moms, you have greater influence than you even know. In fact, you have so much influence, you can turn the tide of a nation and a family. See, I'm seeing moms now enter protests for the right things. For the right things. I'm seeing moms start to march about things that are wrong in our nation. I think a lot of times moms have held back. Well, I'll tell you what, no longer. Moms are realizing, wait a minute, God has given you influence to change things in our nation. Okay? But also the family. So I'm going to introduce you to two moms, Jochebed and Eunice. Right? Jochebed and Eunice. I'm going to introduce you to two moms. You're like, who's Jochebed? I'm going to answer. You're like, what? I've never heard of Jochebed. You've heard of her son. In Exodus 1:2, chapter 1 and chapter 2, you have the Israelites being held captive in Egypt, right? And they're prospering. God is prospering. They're growing. And so the Pharaoh of that day begins to kind of be in fear of them. And so the Pharaoh of that day says, man, we got to do something with these kids, these Hebrew kids, especially the boys. So he gives an order for the midwives that would help the Hebrew women deliver babies. Hey, if a Hebrew boy is born, kill him. Okay, kill him. It's crazy. You're like, that's crazy. One of the things that moms are marching about now, right? And so sure enough, he's saying, if they're born, kill them. Well, the scripture says that the midwives feared God. And so they disobeyed the Pharaoh. And so the babies are coming. Finally, the Pharaoh gives even another order. Hey, if it's a male boy, I mean, he orders it across the land. Now he's getting serious. This is what I'm, if a baby boy is born, throw him in the Nile. That's the order of the Pharaoh. Well, moms, I'm telling you, moms have influence over what? Nations and families and everything in between. So Jochebed is Moses' mom. Jochebed is Moses' mom. So here you have the Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet, in charge of the most powerful nation. And so she has a baby boy, and instead of doing what the Pharaoh said to do, she hides him out for 3 months. And then after 3 months, it's like, man, I can't keep this a secret anymore. So she does an amazing thing, and I believe she was in charge the whole way. She puts him, she creates his basket, you know, lines it with tar, and she floats it down the Nile. And then she sends Moses' oldest sister, Miriam, so her daughter, to go along. So I can just see it this way. So Jochebed puts Moses, his name wasn't Moses at the time. We don't know what his name was there at that time, but he to float down the river, the Nile, and his sister's going along. But I think she put him in the right place because she knew where the Pharaoh's daughter and her maidservants would go and bathe in the Nile. So guess who finds Moses? Pharaoh's daughter. And so she gets him out of the water, and knows it's a Hebrew. Knows it looks different. It's one of those Hebrew, but it says she had pity on him, and so she decides she wants to keep this baby for herself. See, God's at work in all these things. And so sure enough, Miriam, Moses' sister, shows up and says, hey, you want me to find a Hebrew woman that can nurse him? Yeah, in fact, I'll pay her. So she takes her to mom, right? Moses' mom, Jochebed, and she nurses him to a point in which eventually he goes and is raised in the court of Pharaoh. What a safe place. God wants to save a nation. He's going to save the baby that he's calling, right? And there's no safer place than putting him in the court of Pharaoh. That's how good God is. But I can imagine the bravery of this woman that is going against the Pharaoh and the most powerful nation. That's what moms do, amen? That's what moms do. They don't care what the nation is saying. They don't care what the law of the land is. They know right from wrong, and they're going to choose what? Right every time. So Moses' mom's brave action saved a son and a people. Look what Hebrews 11:23 says. This is what they call the hall of faith. You got to read this every now and then, Hebrews 11. It tells you about the hall of faith, those that were big in faith. Look what it says. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. What parent doesn't think, right? You know, oh, man. And they were not afraid of the king's command. They were not afraid of the what? King's command. They were not afraid of the what? King's command. Moms, don't be afraid of the king's command. You know the right thing to do, amen? You know the right thing to do. Because you have influence. God has given you influence. You know, you might say, well, you know, my kid's not going to be the next Moses. Maybe. All I know is this, that there's an eternal plan for your kid, whether it's son or daughter. There's an eternal plan for your kid that nobody else can walk except your kid. And you got to understand that as a mom. If so, you'll never see the potential that can be realized in your kid because he's trusted you to raise that child up, to raise those children up. He's trusted you to teach them, to mold them, to shape them. He's trusted you. Man, oh man. The second person, Eunice. 2 Timothy 1:5 talks about her. Eunice. Eunice was the mother of Timothy, one of the amazing young preachers in the early church. And look what it said about this. 2 Timothy 1:5. It says this, I call to remembrance. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. He's saying, Timothy, there's something strong in you. I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded is also in you. How many of your grandmas? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of your moms? Raise your hand. See what he's saying? He's saying, Timothy, I see something in you that has been passed down. Moms, the greatest legacy you can give your children is not stuff. It's not stuff. It's a strong faith. It's your prayers. It's your declarations. It's teaching them the word of God. That's the greatest legacy you can give your kids. So, it's like, where was Timothy's father? He was a non-believer. He was a Gentile non-believer. So really, it was mom that she said, well, I'm married to a dad that, you know, he likes to stay home and drink beer and watch football. I mean, it doesn't matter, right? She's poured into him the faith that she received from her mom. And that's what you do. 2 Timothy 3:14-15 gives us even a little bit more insight into this. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned, talking to Timothy, and be sure assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. How did he know in his childhood? His mom taught him. His grandma taught him. And from that childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So here are these godly mothers, right? His godly mother passed on the training, the influence, and the example. Theodore Roosevelt said something. I love this, right? Theodore Roosevelt said this about mother. It's actually a bigger quote. But he said, the mother, talking about moms, and you can add grandmas and moms-to-be if you want to, the mother is the one supreme asset of national life. You got to, and the way moms are looked at in our day, that's no longer true, but it will be true. Amen? Moms will raise up, and this will be true. He's saying, you're our greatest national asset. She is more important by far than the successful statesman. You know what he's saying? Politicians. In our nation, we make politicians. No. Roosevelt's saying, Moms are more important than politicians. That's what he's saying. You got to understand that. Don't let politicians make the policy. Enough of that. You have influence. She's more important by far than the successful statesman, the businessman, the artist, or the scientist. I'm going to finish with this question for you. I'm going to finish, and then I'm going to get Steve up here. Told you the good stuff was coming. Do you want to make an impact in this divided nation? Who wants to make an impact in this divided nation? Raise your hand. You want to make an impact. This applies to moms, could apply to dad. If you want to make an impact in this divided nation, if you're tired of division in our nation, here's what you do. The first thing you do, I'm going to give you three things. You walk out your faith. You be an example. You be an example to your kids. You be an example to those around you. You be an example to our community. Right? If there's a town meeting, people go over there and they go crazy and they criticize everything. Guess what? You come with a plan and you come with the wisdom of God. Amen? You use the word of God. The second thing, so not only do you walk out your faith, not only should you be example, you use the word of God to train up your children. You use the word of God to train up your children. They don't get trained by themselves. The world will train them or you will train them. Those are the two choices. And here's the last one, the third one. Use your influence to fight for godliness in our nation. A lot of times we want godliness, but we need to pray for godliness and we fight for godliness. There's plenty of people already, plenty of groups that are fighting for evil. And we're like, oh, it's getting so evil. Well, guess what? We're called to fight for godliness. Amen? Amen. Everybody up. Let's worship the Lord. Yes.